Okay, let's give ourselves a round of applause. It's the first time this Sunday. Amen. Fantastic. So I'd like to hand over to our very own bishop in the making, father of many nations, Mr. Amunga. Karibu sana. Yes.
I've always wanted to say this. Band, thank you. You can have a seat. I've always wanted to say that. This is my first time. Hey, now I have the authority to say it. Thank you, band. Please clap for our band, please. Oh, yeah. Franca said he wants money. So now the band has wanted. Okay, we'll see. The gift, the token is coming. I'm grateful to be here. It's been long, actually. Last time I was here, I think I was here with Stacy, and they were not even expecting them. I think now they have Enzo, so that's a good time. But today being Mother's Day and a day to celebrate women, I guess we are having a panel to be able to talk to some of our congregation about what God is doing in their lives. So I'd like to welcome Lillian and Leomi. Yeah, so today we are having our very own people at the front. Pastor Kevin and Simba have traveled. They're on their way to Singapore for conference. So as we speak right now, they are somewhere. They had a long, connection thing going on. So, yes, they are on their way there. But, I'd like to welcome the two of you. Maybe how we can start is an introduction. Just your name, how long you've been with us. Actually, how did you come to Rhythm City? Yeah, the two. Can start with, yes.
All right. So I'll start. Hey, y'all. Hey. Hope you're all doing good. So, for those of you who do not know me, I am Jesu Layomi Akini Fesi. Full name. I had to bring the Nigerian accent. Jesu Layomi Akini Fesi. And it means Jesus is my joy, and indeed he is. And my last name means loving warrior. If I was to describe myself in a bubble, I would just say I am a creative, I love photography, I'm a strategist, and I love Jesus. Just a bit of background, I come from a family of faith, so when I say family of faith, I mean growing up seeing miracles was a very normal thing. As in, I would see my dad pray for people, somebody with a tumor the size of my head, and next day healed. Oh, wow. Or seeing a whole village that were all Muslims and all of them giving their life to Christ. So I came from literally parents that walked the commission of speak in new tongues, cast out demons, right. Make new believers, make disciples. They walked the talk. So that was the background I came from. So now me growing up is me finding my own groove in that. And how I came to find this lovely church. So I went to Quinnipiac University in Connecticut. If anyone knows Connecticut, it's okay. It's not relevant. Just know it's next to New York. And one of the first, maybe the first or second week I go there, I meet this tall, beautiful, wonderful Kenyan woman, and her name is Beverly.
Beverly's tall.
Yeah, Beverly. So Bev and I are not only we were college buddies. She has seen me through everything. Mm. Well, back when I was still in my rebellious ways. But so we were college friends. So it's interesting when I moved to Kenya, which was about a year ago. I come to Kenya and Bev is like, well, there's this really cool church. We're really loving. We're really cool. Why don't you come by? I promise we're not a cult, but come by. And I was like, hey. So when I came with one eye open and one eye closed, like, And then all of you guys hugged me. And I was like, ah, you guys are all huggers, and I'm a hugger. Perfect fit. So all thanks to the Lord and thanks to Bev for bringing me here, because God really intentionally, literally placed each other in our lives so that I could be here.
You must clap for Bev.
My name is Lillian Matobu. The other name being Cheptoris.
Cheptoris.
That's what my work, that's like my doctor name, because that's what is recognized. mom of two, and married Frank Matobu.
You make him look good. You make him look good.
Yeah, so I'm a doctor by profession. I specialize in pediatrics, that is treating children. And I'm also a lover of God and a lover of his church. Yes, so I think that's it.
Oh. I remember when Lillian first came to, I think we were still in Sankara when you came. And Lillian came and she just looked like some college girl coming into the place. Then God said, yeah, and she's a doctor. Everybody's like, whoa. And yeah, then he told us about Frank coming and the kids coming. So it was really nice. So it's nice to have witnessed you guys joining us. Anyway, so maybe you can tell us how this year has been like for the two of you. I can start with Lillian's end, because, just tell us how the year has been. How has God been featuring in your year? How has life been?
Yeah, so this year has been lots of challenges and unexpected challenges, and so learning to step up to, you know, to what God is doing. It's been lots of discovering God. So one of the main challenges has been work. As we all know, in one way or another, we've been affected in many ways by the economy, and especially in the medical field, it's really affected us. And so it's been like, is asking myself, is God my provider, or is my job my provider? So it's been, you know, rising up to really knowing that it's God who provides. And God does not need to use your job to provide. He will find any other way to meet all your needs. Yes. So, in short, it's been quite a challenging year, but also stepping up in faith and believing God. Yeah.
Is that my mic? Okay. So, for me, how the year has been. And I think it's important for me to mention how my 2023 actually started. I mean, ended. So it's interesting. That's how you can tell the Holy Spirit is moving, because we didn't necessarily talk with each other on what we would be talking about. But a similar theme for me came up regarding my job. So 2023, like I said, I moved to Kenya like about a year ago, get a really good job, good paying, everything. And this same good-paying job, 3 weeks to the end of December, tell me that my contract is not going to be renewed. And I'll be honest with you guys, this is me being a real Christian. When Christmas came, I did not feel like saying Merry Christmas to people. I was saying Merry Christmas, but I was not very merry at the time. We'll just dissect. When I heard the news that they were not going to continue my contract, I also need to preface that God gave me a bit of a warning before that he was going to shift me. But for me, I just didn't realize it was going to be that soon. So when I heard the news and I went back home, I didn't even tell my mom. I went straight to my room and I just cried. I just cried my eyes out, and I didn't even pray. But the one prayer I did say is, Lord, I don't get it, but I'm going to trust you. So I wasn't asking him why, because he already told me he was going to shift me and it would be for a purpose and a reason. So I understood there was a reason behind it. But I just didn't understand why it had to be that way. I fasted, and I was fasting at the time that they told me that. So you can imagine I was really having like a Job moment where I was like, Lord, even I was in the office, I was praying for these people. I was fasting for them. I was da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And now look at this. I mean, like there was even a day, I don't know if you guys remember Bongyeni, that I was walking to work, like I couldn't even wake up to go to work on time. That's how angry and resentful I was getting. And I was walking, and Bonyeni is just like, yo, so life is just hitting you hard like that, right? And when he said that, the exact reaction you guys had is exactly what I had. And then it was just a check where I was just like, I cannot let what is happening to me now reflect and show other people who also may not know God and them. They need to see God even through the hard times. And what I'm not trying to say is dismiss your feeling. What you guys saw me do when I cried in my bed and the only thing I said is, God, I don't understand, but I trust you, was me acknowledging what I was going through. So this year, what this year has been, interestingly enough, has been the most joy that I've ever felt in my life. More joy than last year. Crazily enough, even when I had a job, good finances, everything, I've experienced more pure joy in this year than I have last year. And the reason why is because you don't experience pure joy when you are at the top of the mountain. It's when you're at the lowest part and you're like, I have nothing, but God's still with me. Yeah. He still loves me. He still cares for me. So how my year has been, it's been a year of almost just to echo what our wonderful doctor has said, is really just trusting God in not just the highs, but in the lows, and understanding that God is a sovereign God. And in Christian life, that there will be trouble. So if we think that we're going to be believers and we won't have any trouble, that's just, it's being a bit naive. And it's not saying that we should pray for trouble to come to us, but that having the strength in God and finding that through. And sorry, just one more thing I need to mention is this year, one thing I realized is how the community around me really strengthened me. The day, maybe it was the week of that I had heard about my job, I went to tables and there were a few people, God bless you, that you saw my eyes and you knew I just was not there. I wasn't there. And that week, I remember Faye texting me and she sent me a verse and she just sent me something so encouraging. And I realized you're not by yourself. We don't have to go through things by ourselves. If you do, you're not trusting in God and then you're not allowing him to help you through. He's not going to move the mountain. He's going to help you through the mountain. Thank you. So really the community around me, tables, coming to church, having people speak words of encouragement. That's been my year.
But has there been anything, have there been any verses or any bits of scripture that have been like foundational for the two of you in this life? Have there been any things you just keep saying to yourself to encourage yourself or to build your faith up?
I can start. Interestingly enough, whenever I go through things with, it's usually with my career, and God has seen me through in so many miraculous ways. So one thing that I have seen that he always takes me to is Job, the book of Job, because Job literally, my dude had it all. He was balling, he had everything, and then suddenly all that he had is gone. And now he's like, but God, I was a righteous person. I wasn't sinning. All my friends that were sinning, I see them. They're flourishing. Me, I'm here. And I was going through the exact same thing that Job was going through. And God always takes me through that book to humble me. Because if you read the book of Job, you'll realize how sarcastic God is. Because at the end of Job, basically, God is like, are you the one that created the skies, the heavens? Did you make the birds? Did you craft this universe? Do you know how I founded this universe? Basically, he was saying, I am God. I know what I'm doing. I'm all sovereign. I'm all knowing. I'm not surprised that you're going through what you're going through. It's not a surprise for me. So when I read Job, again, it was a way of humbling me, of almost not reflecting so much on myself, but reflecting more on God and who he is. And it sounds a bit cheesy, but when you look at who God is, you'll realize you are not in control, and praise the Lord that we are not in control. Because if he's in control, then we know he has a good and perfect plan. There's a particular verse that really encouraged me specifically, and it's in 2 Thessalonians. I'm trying to read Thessalonians. Sorry, I'm trying to pull it up. And I believe it's in chapter 3. Okay, so 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. So really, the Holy Spirit has really been teaching me endurance and perseverance. And that's something that if we don't have that and a thankful heart, life will literally mollywop you. So that's been for me.
Yeah, for me, it's not been like particular scripture, but it's just God revealing some things to me about worrying and about issues of life. Because, you know, one of the things that God has been pointing out in my life is the things that are idols, the very subtle things that probably you think, this is not. And then you realize that, yeah, really making a living has been, you know, more important than God. Because if... Even just looking at the story of Job, the whole reason why this test came was for God to prove to the devil that Job actually loved him more than having, you know, everything going on well for him, more than having all the material, because it was literally material things, you know, that are being taken off his life. And so if we fall into worry and anxiety and refuse to acknowledge God and to praise God in those difficulties, that means that we are saying that these issues are actually bigger than God. And that's an idol. That is idolizing, you know, idolizing money or whatever, or have those achievements that we are looking to. So for me, it was that, like, realizing that me wanting things to be, you know, going well is actually... You know, I'm turning it into an idol. And so, yes, so I had to, like, be like, God, I know you'll take care of me. I'm not going to worry about what will I eat tomorrow. You know, how will the rent, you know, be paid and all that. And worry about my kids' education and all that. Because God knows that I need these things. Because he says that, look at the birds of the air. They are they are more dressed than even human beings. The flowers, you know, they don't wake up and be like, oh, now we need to think about planting a tree and all that, you know, so that we can have fruit. They're not thinking about planting mango trees. I don't know. Yes, but I've not seen any bird die of, you know, hunger, like it dropped from the sky and, you know, because it was famished. No. Yes, so that was a lesson for me. Like, being anxious about life is actually idolatry. And God put it harshly for me. Maybe you've not seen it that way. But yes, but that was like God saying that you're worshiping other things more than you worship me. Yes. Yeah.
Mm. I think sometimes we fall into the cycle of either comparing. So we think God doesn't love us because he's blessing other people more than us.
Yeah.
Or like you're saying, you start realizing that you actually have placed emphasis on things that are fleeting. Especially, I mean, in this city has just a spirit of hustle and grinding. And we think we must always be doing something when everything biblical is actually counterculture. God is calling us to rest in him, first of all. He's calling us to trust him. He's calling us, yes, to be diligent in the work of our hands, because he brings every opportunity our way, but he doesn't want us to make that opportunity to become the idol that you're saying.
Yeah.
And so even for me, I think one of the biggest lessons I ever learned was one, and it's still even something that I will learn every day, is to first work from rest.
Yeah.
And then two, to be able to ask myself, really, am I being distracted by these things that I'm chasing after?
Yeah.
I think for me, this year, the biggest lesson has been distraction, actually. I've even been avoiding my phone a lot because, you know, sometimes we think we are on Instagram or whatever, but the truth is we are feeding our depression by looking at, you know, wanting a high, a quick high, you know, looking at it. So, yes, exactly. Doctor, you should call it Doctor now. Dopamine. So I guess Pastor Garth, this year began by talking about self-governed spirituality. And us being able to not look at Sunday as the place where we are fed, but rather Monday to Monday, you know, we are constantly in the Word, we are finding ways to grow, we are going to tables where community helps build us. What would you say are the things that you are practicing to govern, you know, your spirituality in this season? And start with Lillian, then come this way.
Even through God destroying all the things that I was holding on to, like, I had no choice but to be like, okay, if this can't give me joy, then you're forced to be like, you know, hang out with God. Yes. And so for me, it's just been that intentional, you know, hanging out with God, and not in a way that I'm doing it for him. I actually, and he has taught me that I don't pray for... It's not him who benefits from me praying. It's actually me who benefits from being in his presence. Because like Val said, as we're starting the service, or I don't know whether it was the end, that in his presence is fullness of joy.
Yeah.
At his right hand are, you know, pleasures. So in him removing all the idols, then I realized that, oh, all these things were actually just distracting me from the main thing, which is finding my satisfaction and finding my everything in God. And so that verse that, you know, that somewhere, I don't know which, but there's a statement, I think it was Abraham, who said that you are my exceedingly great reward.
Yeah.
Because he was, you know, he had no son and all those, you know, he had so much wealth. As we all know that he was one of the richest men in the Bible, but he still said that God is his exceedingly great reward. Like, nothing, the treasure that he had in God did not compare to the other material things that he had. So, like, I'm eager to just be with him, because now I have nothing else to hold on to, like, yeah. Yes.
It's funny because, like you're saying, there's always something that we look at to make us feel like we need more. For Abraham, he had everything, but he didn't have a child. And so that was like the thing that would make him feel fulfilled. For the rest of us, it is, okay, maybe you have a family, but you're struggling. God, if I just had a better job, if the business was doing better, if there's always something,
yeah.
You know, rather than actually finding our reward in God. You know? How about you, Leon?
Mine is it's quite similar, but on the vein of learning how to rest in him. And it's interesting because you're confirming it by mentioning the rest. Actually, something that the Holy Spirit told me at the end of last year, he said, I'm going to teach you how to operate from a place of rest. And indeed, that's been this year, where I've just been cultivating a habit of not rushing to go from place to place to do X, Y, and Z, but to learn how to just sit in his presence, not because I want brownie points or because I want to pray for something, or even sometimes praying for someone, because sometimes we can pray for things, X, Y, and Z, and we're actually not just spending time with God. And learning how to just enact that, and I'm going to use the word discipline, of being in his word and praying every day. If one is not in their word, you are going to be on shaky ground. If you think as a Christian you can get by in life and not pray and not read your Bible, good luck to you. Maybe you can test it out, but I'll just tell you, it ain't gonna happen. And something for me that I noticed, that if not for the word of God and me speaking, like declaring the word of God, whatever my situation looks like, that's not the reality. I have to declare what God has spoken in my life and speak it out. And that's been something the Holy Spirit has been teaching me. And interestingly enough, because sometimes he does this in my personal life where he'll nudge me to do something. And one of them has been getting a fitness trainer. And I go to the gym with Lantia. But one of them has, thank you. Because last year I didn't go to the gym. I only went once. This year we're going steady. But what the Holy Spirit has been teaching me from that is endurance and perseverance. So when we first started working out, I'm telling you, our Dr. Fitness, he kept it easy on us. He was like, just lift it. Now he doesn't let us take breaks. He will push us. And the thing he always says is, if you don't feel the pain, you have to push through the pain. And what I'm going to bring that into scripturally is sometimes we will not feel like praying. Many times we will not feel like praying. Many times we will not feel like reading our Bible. This is a reality. And sometimes we feel bad for that as believers, but it's because you're fighting your flesh. So it's pushing past the feeling. So not, I don't feel like going to the gym today, I won't go to the gym. But if I don't go to the gym, if I'm not consistent, I will not get the result. And the thing is, sometimes as believers, we'll like go to the gym. And when I say go to the gym, just think of me like saying, read your Bible once, pray once. And we'll do it for 1 week and we'll be like, yeah, I'm charged. And for maybe 5 months, we don't do that. Mm-hmm. And we want the same results as somebody who has been going consistently, has been in the gym, has been learning the craft. Same thing with the word of God. If we want to be fit spiritually and to be able to not just have our shield of faith, so defending ourselves from the devil, but actually doing some damage to the kingdom, pow, pow. So like we're also on the offense and not just the defense. The word of God is our only weapon. The shield of faith is to defend us. So having faith, but if we don't have God's word, we can't hit back.
That's true.
So that's been something that I've been practicing. Back to the basics, prayer, reading God's word, and also through serving and learning how to humble myself through serving. Yeah.
There's a verse in the Bible that says that a man shall not get, like, I paraphrase it, but you shall not get yours until you learn to serve another man's in theirs.
Yeah.
Like, until you learn the humility of being able to help somebody do theirs. That's when he'll also be able to get, well, God will be able to release what is yours. Because I guess he's also trying to teach us that when people come to serve us, we should remember when we were servants and know how to treat them well. Sorry, I know it's Mother's Day, but. share this one. Okay, sir. The thing that keeps ringing, you know, and this time is just being able to see the goodness of God regardless.
Yeah.
I think equating the goodness of God with the blessing of God is just it's making God such a small being. Like he's only good when he's giving.
Yeah.
You know, how many of us would have those friends who when you see their phone call you're like, God, this guy is asking me for money. They're not even calling to see how you're doing.
Yeah.
They're not calling to chat. You just know this one by day. It's just a story. Then the ask, you know, it's coming, you know. So one of the things I've also been practicing is, can I go to prayer and not ask for anything? And it's a tough one because we've been conditioned and socialized that when you go to prayer, you're praying for things.
Yeah.
And the truth is, prayer is relationship.
Yeah.
You're learning to be in the presence of God, to stay there, you know. And the Bible says Christ used to go and stay even all night. So you wonder, what was he saying? If he could command things to become, what was he asking for? He was not going to ask, oh God, just give me two donkeys, you know. Because he could command the donkeys to come. So what was he really praying about all night? That thing has really, like, it really struck my mind. What was Christ praying about the whole night when he had access to everything? So, but as we are still, yeah, God, you know, rent, nini, those things. But yeah, I'm not shooting down in. Hebrews 4 says, 4:10, for all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let's do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. Because the people of Israel disobeyed by unbelief. They didn't disobey by bad actions because God kept showing them, you know, every day he's providing manna, he's providing quails, he's providing what? He's trying to tell them, you rest, I'll bring you these things. But the guys are always trying, you know, no, God, no, you know, we need to do this. But these are the lessons we're learning. Pastor Kevin has been talking about rebuilding a lot in this time, I guess, and maybe that is what is going on for you guys. How would you be able to expound a little bit in what he's been saying in the rebuilding of your faith, rebuilding of your relationships, rebuilding of all aspects of your life? Since you have the mic. Oh, yeah. There.
Oh. I'll start this time. You've been starting. rebuilding of faith, personally and then in my life. I would say... kind of, again, just learning how to trust God even when things don't make sense, but also discerning the season and discerning what season of my life that I'm in. But discerning what season of my life I'm in, because if not for the discernment, I also want to actually give this as preface, because sometimes, just as you're mentioning with the goodness and, you know, when we think that we're getting good things from God, God loves us, and then when bad things happen, God doesn't. The Holy Spirit made it very clear it was him that closed the door. It was not the enemy. It was not the devil. And sometimes there's a misconception that, oh, bad things, enemy, good things, God. But God does all good things. Everything he does is good. But there are times where it may not seem good to us. But it is good because he's all-knowing and he knows everything. And so it's having faith in what he's saying is good, even if it may not seem that way to me. He even challenged me to say, Laimi, are you willing to walk with me, even if in the face of man you're going to look like a failure? And that was a really hard pill to swallow. And again, it's pricking at that little pride that we have and the idols, as you mentioned before. So rebuilding has been... literally, Jesus, you increase, I decrease. If I need to look like failure to man for me to show God's glory, then let it be. We always want miracles, but if we want miracles, then something has to happen for the miracle to happen. There had to be no wine for the wine to come. There had to be a need and a hunger for the bread to multiply and the fish to happen. So many times we want God to also do good things in our lives. And he's like, that's what I'm doing. That's why I'm putting you through this path, actually. So rebuilding my faith, trusting in God, and also allowing other people to speak into my life and stand in faith with me. Because if not for that, I mean, one person can only do so much. That's why when Elijah, when he wanted to give up, he was like, God, I'm done. And God was like, listen, I have 400 other prophets in the cave. You're not the only one. But everyone, he knows everyone and he cares for everyone. And in the community that we have, as long as we're able to lift each other up in faith, edify each other, encourage each other with God's word, and just be there for each other, we can see God at the end.
For me, it's been similar, but also a little bit different. And so for me, when I had rebuilding, one of the things that came to mind was like, okay, now, you know, as someone again who is also passionate about the house of God, one of the things that was like, okay, how is God using me to, you know, to do his work for people to grow, for the, you know, for me to contribute my part of multiplying the church and all that. And I think God was telling me that it is not about, whenever you talk about rebuilding, look at the inside, how fast I'm building you, because what you become is eventually what will reflect out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I can say, for example, even this morning, he was just giving the example of like me as a mother and my children. My children, when you see my children, you will see the good qualities I've put in them. But you'll also see my failures, my faults, my anxieties. You know, like, have you ever been, like, you're at a party and then a mother is seated with her kids and all the time she's like, don't do this, don't do that, you know? So the child is always like, okay, what am I supposed to do? They are kind of, you know, anxious. They are kind of, you know, trying to keep it together and all that. Yes, so, and that is because of what is inside the mother, because it's her insecurities that are coming out. And so even us as the house of God, like, if you are growing, then the church is growing. But the church can't grow when you individually, you are not actually growing. You're not allowing God to build you, because God is never interested in structure and, you know, the outside. Whether it's good music, whether it is all that, whether it's lighting, and, you know, he's more interested in the hearts or building us individually. So, yeah, so because starting off the year, I was a bit anxious about looking at how things have been going. Like, oh, now I don't see so-and-so these days. Now, you know, you see, like, the people that you are looking up to are no longer there. And God is like, it's not about looking at the outside. It's about seeing what is actually happening in you. Yes. So for me, that's how it's looked like. But also the other thing he's taught me is that for sometimes you need to leave what is good so that you can get what is better. Because God can teach you something and take you through a season and you're like, what? I've learned a lot, and, you know, you feel like you've grown. And so our hearts are very deceptive. It's very easy to build a monument there and be like, okay, yes, now I went to Bible school. Now I have all this knowledge. Now I've arrived. Now I've understood what the grace of God is all about. And then you forget that actually God is unsearchable. Like, you know, you can never know the whole of God. You can never. And so it's like to be humble again. Humility is one of the things he's teaching me. Be humble and be like, okay, all this I have achieved, but you have to, just like Paul said, that, you know, forgetting all the things that he has achieved, you still strive because there's still more that you have to grasp. And then also, like Laomi said, that sometimes as you keep going deeper in God, you know, as you keep wrestling with God, sometimes you live with a limp, just like Jacob wrestled with God, and he was limping. And you know, we've all seen if someone who is limping, let's say in a crowd, is very noticeable, because you know, like many people, how can I say, like, would be like, oh, they are disfigured or something like that, or they are disability. It's a disadvantage for them. But I think one of the things he was telling me that it's okay to, the limp in this case is looking weird for us, you know, as a believer. You know, friends won't understand you, things like that. And God is okay with your limp, and it's fine. And it doesn't matter if people don't understand you. It doesn't matter if you lose friends, because when seasons change, even sometimes friends will change. There are so many things that change, and God is like telling you that, will you love me irrespective of all this? Will you choose me irrespective of, you know, above all other things, above all the friends you have? Yes. So for me, that's what's been looking like.
I like that, because then it's a call, I guess, unto us to desire growth. I think sometimes people may think that God is this taskmaster who just wants to put you through hard seasons.
Yeah.
But the truth is, it's not a hard season if you haven't held on to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like my wife told me something once. She said, people in the desert do not suffer like people who come from the highlands, because they're in the desert. They know the desert. They know there's no water, so they have adapted to it. I mean, those, whatever they are called, the guys in Namib desert people, gods must be crazy, comes to my mind. Like, to them, the desert is home.
Yeah.
But if you bring someone from, I don't know, which is a highland, Kericho for Kenya, take him to the desert, they will suffer, because them, they're used to rivers, lakes, whatnot. So they are thinking, how am I going to survive in this place? But when you think, when I think it is God showing us that we've gotten so used to the highlands that we don't know how to then be at rest with him even in this place. And so we start blaming him, thinking that he doesn't love us, that he's taking us through this thing. When it's not true, it is just him showing us, you know, the rivers have become your idol, you know. The abundance has filled your mind. And it is really good, I guess, in this rebuilding season too, sometimes when we go through these things, to have people around us, like you're saying, who can also speak into our lives. And when you're having a down day, like Bongeni came and he, you know, clapped back at you, but in a nice way.
Yeah.
You know, to tell you, you know, yeah, style up. You know, you're looking rough. You're looking rough. You need, you know, look good, kidogo.
Yeah.
Also, I guess Hebrews again 5 speaks about in verse 12, Paul is actually calling out the Hebrews, tells them, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. That training is now, I guess, these things God puts us through.
Yeah.
And he's helping us, you know, rebuild our lives to be able to tell what is wrong and right, rather than, again, come, it becomes a spectator Sunday.
Yeah.
You're waiting for Pastor Kevin or Sam to give you a word, to give you strength. You go with it on Sunday. By Saturday, it's already, actually by Friday. Friday afternoon, it's already, your battery is on red, you know, things like that. But we always have to be in the Word, always recharging ourselves with him, you know, and always being able to be filled by him. So I guess now, kind of like to close, what would you say then in a word of encouragement to someone through your experience, through what you've been through your testimony? How would you close out to someone if you saw them in the same situation you're in?
Okay, so mine will be two parts. The first one is to say that Jesus knows what you're going through. There's a verse in the Bible where it says that Jesus went through all the things that humans have gone through so that he can be able to empathize with us. So if somebody's feeling tempted, if somebody's feeling, I mean, Jesus didn't have money, Jesus was tempted, Jesus was humiliated, he went through disgrace, he went through everything. And he also went through the joys of life as well. He went through grief, he went through all the things that us as humans go through. So Jesus empathizes and he knows what we are going through. But there's also a strong, strong, strong encouragement, just to really echo what Amungwa just said, is that we really need to mature. We need to endure. We need to persevere. And it sounds tough, but whatever you were doing in your last season will not sustain you for this new season. David defeated Goliath, but Goliath was defeated, but he had new enemies after that were just as twice as terrible as Goliath. He had the lion, he had the bear, he had Goliath, then he had his own family coming for him. Yeah, his boss, everybody was out here on his neck. So just to say that the seasons of life that we are in, the troubles that come in life, they're not going to stop. And that's why if there's a verse where Jesus was praying for his disciples, and he was telling God, I'm not praying to take them out of this world, but I'm praying that you may be with them, so that through all the difficulties, I'm just paraphrasing, all the difficulties, that they remember the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the helper, the compassionate one is with them. So God isn't going to take away all the troubles from our lives. He will help us. He will prosper us. He will heal us, and he's a good God. But the maturity comes when we realize that we need to have the full armor of God and put it on daily, every single day.
For me, I guess it's for us to know that there are no random happenings in our lives. Like, whatever you're going through right now, it's not just random. And probably I'm re-echoing what you said. You need to know that God has allowed that thing to happen. You know, even with Job, whatever he went through, it's because God allowed it. And even us, as long as we say that we belong to Christ, whatever is happening, whatever situation you're in, whatever place of life you're in, nothing is random, and you just need to open your eyes to see what exactly God is doing. So, like I said, my job, stalling, not being paid and all that, I was so focused on the outside, but God was like, focus on the inside. Look at what exactly is God doing in your heart. Like, what is he teaching you? Because, and at the end of the day, that everything that he takes you through is actually for your own good. He's not doing himself a favor. He's not being narcissistic and trying to just torture you or whatever, but he is actually, you'll appreciate it later. So what I actually do is I give thanks. I give thanks. I'm like, Lord, thank you for the things I don't understand. Thank you for the hard times right now, because I know that you are good, because I know that all things are working out for good, because you're not an evil father, but you're a good dad who knows exactly what I need and who has actually seen what the future is like. I just guess the future. I'm just dreaming, but I don't know what actually will happen in the future. I don't know the actual events that will unfold in the future, but God has seen them, and so what he's doing right now is to prepare me for the future. Yes, so it's that. And I think to know that everything that God has asked us to do, it's not actually for him. Even if he has said read your Bible or pray without ceasing, he's just telling you that come and feast. He's telling you that this is actually for your own good. I don't benefit anything from this. I think we need to kind of look at how do we really view what God asks us to do. God has never done anything for his benefit. That is what I believe. I don't know. But God, all that God has done is for our benefit. In giving us his own son, it was for us to, you know, to come to fellowship with him, to have abundant life, to live a life of peace and joy. So, yeah, so it's just see God in that whatever situation that you're in, and nothing is happening randomly. And also for that one who is like, you feel like you've been building and you kind of feel discouraged, because I remember Pastor Kevin taking us through that scripture of when Nehemiah was building the wall, and then there was, what were the names of?
Sanballat.
And Sanballat, yes. Well, like, oh, what are even building? I mean, if a fox just walked over that wall, it would just collapse, you know? Yes, like, the enemy probably has been saying that to you in your mind, being like, oh, you're not moving anywhere, not making progress, and all that. But you need to just take courage and focus on what God is doing, not what you are doing, because ultimately it's God who builds us. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So God is the actual builder. Then for us now, we're only reflecting what he's already done. Yeah, that's it.
I think I'd like you guys to pray for two groups of people. Leomi, maybe you can start by praying for people who life has just taken a weird turn. And they're not so sure, you know, they are reeling, they are still like trying to catch balance, when the truth is God has got them. The truth is that you're only losing balance because you're trying to catch familiar things, when God is actually calling you to new things. And until you rest in, you know what, God, I'm going to rest because I know you have a new thing for me, is when you'll realize that that's where the balance comes.
Yeah.
So for that group of people, I'd like you to pray for them. Mm-hmm. And then for Lillian, maybe for the people who feel like they're stuck in a loop, like things keep recurring. They rise up, they go back down. They are having a good time. Kidogo, something happens, they're back in a bad time, you know. Yeah, those two groups of people, if you guys would pray for them and just speak word over them. Yeah. Maybe we can do that as we stand. You can go ahead.
Okay. All right. So just before we pray, we're just going to let the Holy Spirit breathe in on us. So we're going to take a quick breath of the breath of God. One, two, three. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you because your breath of life is in us. We don't need to do life by ourselves, Lord. We thank you because you're a compassionate Father who sees every single thing that we go through. You know every single part of us, even the things that we don't know, the things we're repressing, the things we're ignoring, the things we're not bringing to you out of fear. Lord, we pray together and we stand together and we ask for your grace. We ask for your grace, Father, because without your grace, we are not empowered to do your will. We ask also for, Lord, just understanding to be able to stick to your will. May you give us the strength to do what your will is. May you give us the strength to go according to your purpose and your plan. Lord, we thank you because you are a glorious God. And Lord, even for your glory to be seen in our lives, sometimes trouble happens. Lord, you allow some things to happen. So Lord, I pray that may you speak to whoever has felt that you have forgotten them, that you have abandoned them, when that is indeed not the case. you are right there with us in the pit. When Jeremiah was in that pit, Lord, you were there with him and you brought someone to save him. So anyone in a pit right now in the spirit, I pray that that spirit of heaviness that is on you lift off right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We speak life, we speak life, we speak life in the mighty name of Jesus. Any lying voice, any condemning voice, I break it now in the spirit in Jesus' name. You are healed. You are saved. You are redeemed. The Lord loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And do not forget, he loves you. Because the moment you forget that, the enemy will trick you to go back to your old cycle. And Lord, we also ask for breakthrough. We ask not only for breakthrough, but for the wisdom in our season, for us to learn the lessons you're teaching us in that season, Jesus. As you're teaching us how to be with the sheep, may we learn how to be servants for you. As you're teaching us how to be fighters, may you teach us how to fight, O Lord Jesus, with the Holy Spirit that is going ahead of us in the mighty name of Jesus. May we not be Christians who are not victorious and we are just being defeated and defeated and defeated. May we put up that shield of faith. May we put up that sword of the Spirit and slay whatever imaginations and lies that the enemy is coming, that the enemy is using against us. We resist the enemy and we pray against whatever the enemy is using in our lives. We pray and we cover everyone in this room. We pray and we cover everyone that is not here as well. And Lord, as a family of Christ, we also pray, may there be unison in this church, that we may stand boldly together for you, Jesus, that regardless of the adversities that the enemy tries to throw at this church, Lord Jesus, that we will be your glorious church, your glorious bride that seeks you, that loves you, that speaks your word, that lives the life you have called us to live, Jesus. Encouragement is your portion. The love of God is your portion. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Stay in your word. Stay in your word. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. And stay in your word. Don't just read. Study. That's what I'm hearing the Holy Spirit say. Don't just read. Study. Marinate in the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Stay in his presence. Don't rush out of the presence. And don't wait for a feeling to tell you when it's time to pray. Don't wait for a feeling to tell you when it's time to praise the Lord. Don't wait for the worship leader to tell you, thank God. Thank him. Thank him. In the bad times, in the grief, in the pain, in the sorrow, in the temptation, in the worries, praise him. Praise him. And you will break through. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, Lord, we just thank you, God, for the seasons that we are in right now. And Lord, I just want to pray for everyone who is feeling stuck and maybe feeling like they've been moving around in circles and not really achieving anything, God, that, Father, we will learn to fix our eyes on you, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. That we will remember that it's not us who perfect things, but that you who starts the good work is also the same one who finishes it, Lord. That we will remember that it's you working in us, it's your spirit working in us to bring out good fruit, your spirit working in us to mature us. And so, Lord, that we will learn to yield fully to you, that we will learn to fully surrender to your spirit, that, Lord, that we will learn that it's not about what we can do, but it's about how much we can surrender to your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray that let that hunger just come upon each and every one of us, the hunger to encounter you, the hunger to move by your spirit, the hunger to know you more. Let it be upon each one of us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. That, Lord, we will remove our eyes, Lord, from the things that will take us around in circles, but that we will fix our eyes on Jesus. Show us what it really means, what it really means to fix our eyes on Jesus. and not to fix our eyes on how we can achieve this and that, fix our eyes on how we can accomplish this or the other. And perhaps, Lord, it's a good thing that we've not prospered in certain ways, because you are teaching us something. Lord, I pray, God, that our eyes will be open in this season to see exactly what you are doing, to see that the way you measure success is not the same way we measure success, God. That we may be enlightened, God, in this season, God, to know that what is your actual view of us making it or achieving things, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's clap for the two ladies. Beautiful women, well put together. Typical, you know, you see them on the street there. But the thing is, you know, the love of God that they have shines through all of that. It's actually even more impressive. And sometimes it's funny, you meet people having this conversation actually with someone the other day, and saying, it's funny how we can hide, even as Christians, we are so ashamed of sometimes being able to speak about the love of God in us, because we don't want to stand out. Yet the season we are in now is actually where we are being called to stand out. It doesn't mean you look like weirdish John the Baptist style, but you know, you'll still, you know, dress up well, all of that, but the love of God will shine through you more than somebody else who is more focused on taxes and God knows what, you know. Yes, we are all going through all of that, but without that love of God in us, then, you know, really there's nowhere we're going. So I think the call for us in this season, and I even feel for the church in this rebuilding time, it's so funny, even the tent is being rebuilt, but in this rebuilding time, is that there's a call on us all to mature, that the old things have to, we can't keep doing the same thing, you know. Yeah, somebody said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. Like, really, you can't have 2024 like 2023. Like, let's step forward. Let's decide to step more into Christ. We might even lose people around us as a result. But to be honest, I think sometimes people look at us and want what we have, but because they're not willing to walk with you the same journey, they step away from you. But the truth is, the people who are going to walk with you the same journey will also join you. So let's step forward into maturity. Let's step forward into seeing God in every aspect of our lives. Let's be able to speak to one another about it. The Bible tells us to always greet each other with psalms. I should be singing to Tim right now a psalm or something. You know, psalms and hymns and all that. But it's a word of encouragement. Psalms are words of encouragement, right? Yeah, but all in all, thank you. And yeah, have a great week. I pray that... Oh, Hebrews, that was the thing that was on my mind. If there's one thing I can leave, is let's read through the book of Hebrews this week. It really speaks a lot into what the two ladies have shared. So yeah, I'd encourage you to read Hebrews. Anyway, thank you.